Okay, it's working.
Yeah.
There was no, when you called me, there was no call sound effect.
I feel like "let's do the tang" should be our catchphrase, our slogan.
Let's do the tang!
Welcome to Room Full of Nerd Stuff, everybody.
Oh, we're recording already.
You told me last week! Or 2 weeks ago. You called me, just hit record, because that's when we do the best stuff.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
Hey, we'll go ahead and just get this out of the way. I'd like to apologize in advance. It's raining here. If there's some, like, kind of blips in the call, we'll be back. Just give us a sec. I will go through and edit the file. It'll all go together seamlessly, but if it sounds a little weird, it's because I live in Georgia and the DSL is shittier here than it is everywhere else in the world.
It's just going to be an entire podcast of, are you there? Is it working out this time? Okay, let's go.
I've minimized the stress on the network. I'm literally running nothing but the computer and Skype. Fingers crossed.
You're going to have to look something up or find an article or something, and the whole thing is going to go to shit.
Did you enjoy your Thanksgiving, Mike?
I did. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Did you watch the debut of the Super Mega Force Power Rangers during the Macy's Parade?
I did, and I also watched the season finale.
Did you?
Yes. And
where Troy was sword training topless in the woods, and the women ran up and kind of looked him up and down like, girl, what you doing?
My problem with that scene was that it's like, he's practicing in the woods, they all run up to him completely out of breath, going, we've been looking all over for you. They have these giant fucking faces that act as communicators.
If only there was some way we could contact him.
But yes, and I'll admit, like, as much shit as we've given it, as soon as I saw the Gokaiger footage at the end of it, I got excited for the next season.
I got a little excited. I'm not gonna miss Megaforce.
No. I'm really hoping that we were right, and it's just like, okay, we want to get to Gokaiger, but Toei or whatever won't let us just jump to Gokaiger. We got to get through this one to get to that.
Look, we could tough it out.
We could just keep the ratings sustained enough so that Nickelodeon doesn't cancel us till we get to Gokaiger. Then it'll all be good.
Like, wouldn't it be amazing if the first episode of Super Mega Force, Troy runs in and delivers some, like, flawless monologue, and you're like, wait, what?
Where was this for the last 2 years? Damn it, Troy.
I'm curious to see how it goes. I was watching it, and the whole time I was watching it, I was just kind of like, God, I'm so glad this is over.
Yeah.
Don't have to deal with Vrak or any of this shit. And then the footage from that first episode of Gokaiger showed up, and I was like, oh, right, it gets awesome now.
Although I'm not sure that we're completely done with Vrak.
Me either.
Just because they were like, you gotta go. What was the reason? They won't recognize you?
They won't recognize you even though you look exactly like you did before, just with shoulder pads.
Your own family won't recognize you, so you have to run or they'll kill you.
Is that Vrak? No, Vrak didn't have shoulder pads.
Vrak had two eyes and no shoulder pads. Clearly that's not him. Kill him. God.
But let's be honest, though, isn't that the kind of logic you've come to expect from a Power Rangers villain?
Yeah.
It's a miracle Goldar survived once he got his wings back. That's not Goldar! Goldar didn't have fucking wings.
Well, to be fair, in that case, Lord Zedd did give him his wings back. He was there to witness the transformation, so he knew.
Then Zedd turns around 1 second, adjusts his throne, turns back around and goes, who the hell are you?!
Which the best part about that is, I'm giving you your wings back, Goldar. No mention of him losing his wings.
Yeah, I know. When that happened, I was like, oh, right, he doesn't have wings. Wait, was he supposed to have wings?
But he did have wings.
But he did. I'm so confused.
Like, he did at some point. He lost them at some point, but Zedd gave them back. When did he lose them? Why did he lose them? We don't know.
It's just never mentioned.
Yeah.
The details aren't important. You don't need the details. The details aren't important.
Like, I guess his kids were just supposed to go, oh shit, he's got wings now.
He's, like, infinitely more malicious. Not that he can fly with that armor on, but still.
Now that he can fly and he never fucking flew. After after they gave him his wings back, he never flew.
I'm trying to remember, wasn't there a scene where the Rangers went, oh my god, his wings, and then that was just kind of it?
No, like, the only mention of his wings was when he got him back, when Lord Zedd gave him back, and then he never flew.
I remember that scene clearly, too. It felt like such a big deal. But, yeah, there was no reason for it to be a big deal.
I was watching season 2 earlier. And, I'm in that weird kind of transition where they got the White Ranger, but the red, yellow, and black had already left. So it's this weird, awful ADR that's not them, and...
Tommy, we're so glad you're back. Hang on, let's tell Jason. He's standing over there across this field in the shadows. Tommy! You see how happy he is?
Tommy, yay!
We're going to go to the command center. Jason, Zach, Trini, it is imperative you don't take your helmets off while we're here.
And that was, like, the weirdest thing. I even remember that as a kid when they did the transfer to the new Rangers.
Yeah.
That... It's like they got that sword or whatever, and then
that
they appear...
horrible plot contrivance that would allow them to do something yeah. they just kind of did in other seasons. Here you go.
But then it's like the new three are in the suits, but the old three are also standing there in the suits.
Didn't they wave and then teleport off?
Yeah.
Just wave and then...
It's like, shit, you got a bus to catch to that peace conference. Get out of here, guys.
You gotta get to Sweden.
God.
I always imagine the peace conference was in Sweden for some reason.
I think it was.
Was it in Sweden? Yeah. That would be why then. Thank God.
I'm not looking it up right now.
This is the part of the podcast where Mike and I go, was it?
Type. Switzerland.
Switzerland. Yeah, it's the same place.
Yeah.
Switzerland, Sweden, Australia, New Zealand, same place.
They're all the same.
It's, you know, they start with Swiss.
So, yes. New season coming when? February?
Yeah, something like February.
So, that'll be fun, maybe.
February, in the scheme of transitions, look how well that worked. We talked about Power Rangers, and now we have a new topic. February could potentially be a very good month for us, Mike, as the internet craps out. What was the last thing you heard?
Well-oiled fucking machine. Goddamn. The last thing I heard was February in the something of transitions.
In the scheme of transitions, Mike.
Yeah.
February could be a very good month for us. Have you watched the latest Chair Shot Reality?
No,
I never watched Chair Shot Reality, but this one time I had to watch it because they wouldn't put the fucking details in the blog post.
I completely gave up on that show when Matt Hardy joined.
Ooh. We've got some exciting news from WWE, Matt. Grapes! Grapes are delicious! I love grapes! Version 2.
I love grapes and fuck Amy Dumas. Or Dumas, or whatever.
So, sources inside the WWE are saying February 24th, right after the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, will be the debut of the WWE Network. I heard this stunned silence. What?
Oh, God.
It didn't even stop recording that time.
It'll be the debut of the WWE Network. Click.
Yes, they're saying it will be the debut of the WWE Network right after the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view.
Good.
They are saying they have finally hammered out a model. It will not be a television channel.
Is it going to be like a YouTube thing?
It's going to be a subscription service like Netflix.
Okay.
They are saying... $10 to $12 a month, but for the first users, it's going to be required like 6 months up front. So $60 for 6 months right up front. The caveat is you get WrestleMania 30 included.
There you go.
And not necessarily, it's not all going to be available day one, but the end goal is very quickly they will have available to watch every episode of Raw and SmackDown and ECW.
Wasn't there also talks like to get like... Nitro and Thunder and even like old like AWA and Mid-South and all the shit
that
they have.
I'm sure eventually those will come, but what's going to be the from the get-go is going to be pay-per-views, Raw, SmackDown, and I believe ECW. The goal being they're trying to, like, pay-per-views are still going to be available a la carte, but the goal being they want to make the pay-per-view model less impactful.
Right, so it, as part of the subscription to this deal, you get free pay-per-views, essentially.
Because, I mean, like, right off the bat, if I'm paying $60 for 6 months and I've got every episode of Raw and SmackDown, right off the bat, that doesn't sound like a bad deal to me, especially if they're, you know, going to go ahead with live streaming those episodes like they were talking about. I don't have cable. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But if you're also just giving me WrestleMania 30, basically what you're saying is buy WrestleMania 30 and we're going to give you 6 months of WWE Network to try out.
Yeah, because, I mean...
And I'm okay with that.
WrestleMania itself is usually $60 around.
Yep.
So, yeah, that sounds like a really good deal.
So, I mean, if I feel comfortable saying if that's the deal and they're going to announce that that's going to start February 24th, and if I'm going to be able to get it on my PS3 or my Xbox or something, $60, they got it. I will definitely sign up for that. That sounds like a really good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And again, especially if they're going to stream not just pay-per-views but Raw, and I guess SmackDown. I don't know how they... I guess they could stream SmackDown on there as it airs Friday night. But they're going to stream... The problem is advertising.
No. What was the last pay-per-view I watched? The one before Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
But it's like there was a commercial right in the middle of it.
No. The problem with Raw and SmackDown being streamed, advertising. I don't know how that's going to play into their advertising deals for Raw and SmackDown.
Hmm.
I don't know how it'll work with pay-per-views. I imagine pay-per-views, they're just going to start writing off the cost of the pay-per-view for the most part.
Well, maybe because of this, with the paid subscription,
mm-hmm.
It's like they're getting money, so they really don't need to run commercials to get money from sponsors.
Right.
So it's like if you're watching Raw through their thing, maybe you just get that shit that's going on during the commercials that they usually say, buy the app to watch.
Thanks for paying $10. Here, enjoy this rest hold.
I mean, maybe they'll do more shit in
Thank God
that.
I bought the app. Yeah. I imagine that's eventually what it's going to go to. I think they're going to... I don't think you're going to see Raw and SmackDown go away from television in any regard, but I think...
No, but I mean, even then, it's like, if you're watching it on TV, then they could say, hey, you know that, like, 5 minute commercial break, you could have seen all the shit that they're doing during that commercial break if you buy our network subscription thing.
But knowing WWE, will it really just be like, wow, look at that rest hold. Hey, King, how are you enjoying those Taco Bell Doritos tacos? They're pretty good, Michael.
Yeah, they'll probably just sit more junk food in front of the guy who had a heart attack on television.
I remember that.
Was that? It was like the double bacon cheeseburger or some bullshit.
That like just plate of Sonic food, and it's like if you're in good health, Sonic is not good for you.
The problem though that I see with this is that they still have not managed to hammer down streaming pay-per-views and stuff online without there being tremendous issues with lag and buffering.
Well, I mean, I streamed one of the Royal Rumbles.
From their website?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did the 2012 Royal Rumble, because I was like, I want to watch Rock and Punk go, but I was sick as hell and I didn't want to leave the house. So I was like, I'll buy this one pay-per-view since, you know, I don't buy the others. I mean, I don't buy the others. I can't even tell people it's a bad thing to stream those pay-per-views because the last six have been so fucking terrible that if I had paid for them, I would be pissed.
Yeah. I mean,
and the fact that after that one, people were calling and asking for refunds and got them tells you something about the quality of the pay-per-views.
Right. Well, that was a cable company issue, and if I was running the cable company, I would have not given out refunds.
Absolutely not. I think that was pretty stupid, yeah. I don't know why they did that.
Like, it's not my fault that they put on a shitty show.
Hey, look, I'm a Triple H fan. I think it worked out great. That's why they won't let me run the cable company.
Yeah, as those shows were going on, it's like, in my mind, because I hadn't paid for them either, I was like, okay, they're building to something. They're telling a story here. But at the end, it's like, if I had plunked down $40 or $50 for that and didn't get an ending, I'd probably be pissed too.
I'm okay with them telling a story and giving an ending. It's just, you know, it's got to be worth the $50 they're charging for.
Right.
I think you're going to see the pay-per-views matter less in the future. I think we're going to go back to having... We're going to have monthly pay-per-views, but I think outside of the big four, they're not really going to matter. I imagine they're going to work out some sort of payment structure eventually they're not going to... Well, you know.
Like, that isn't already happening?
But I imagine what will happen is everything but your big four pay-per-views will be included in the streaming service. But eventually they'll find some way to charge like an extra $20 for the big four if you have the subscription service. Something like that. It'll be something ridiculous. Eventually. And even then, that's still not too bad, because then it's like, if I want to watch it, I'll pay the extra $20. If not, I'll just find a stream.
Yeah, then we'll just go back to doing what we do all the time anyway.
And that's pretty much what you already have overseas in the UK. I think they get all but, like, three of the pay-per-views for free over there.
No, I think they get all of them.
No, there's some they have to pay for. I can't remember how it works out, but there's, like, three or four out of the year that they don't get for free over Sky.
I was pretty sure they got all of them, but I could be wrong. I don't live over there, so I don't know.
You're probably right. What's the first rule of the podcast? Everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Second rule is Mike doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I always know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That's why you had to go on some 5-tweet rant last night, and I managed to sum it all up in one.
Well, I'm a little more wordy. You're a fucking artist. Why didn't you just draw a picture of you being angry and post that?
I'm a wordsmith.
I'm a word magician. I'm a word mage.
I can say everything it takes 5 tweets to say in one, because I'm just that good. Anyway.
Well, what did your tweet basically boil down to? Hey, you guys all suck.
Yeah, it was just that nerds need to shut the fuck up. Cause
for those who don't know what we're talking about, Gail Gadot, is that how you pronounce your name?
It was Gal.
Gal Gadot?
I don't know, she's like Middle Eastern or something.
She's Israeli.
So
would that fall into the something or the Middle Eastern? I'm confused with how your scope of the world works out.
I didn't know if she was Middle Eastern. I knew she was from that area. Like she could have been,
which area is that, Mike?
She could have been Russian, for all I know. Like the south of Russia, maybe, where they kind of probably intermingle with.
Yes, I am Wonder Woman. I am here to wrestle your bears and drink your vodka.
She played a fucking Mexican in the Fast and Furious movie, so I don't know what the hell she is.
I don't have any concept of race. It's the Fast and the Furious. By the way, rest in peace, Paul Walker. It's the Fast and the Furious. They don't give a shit about race. They just make cars go fast, and you buy tickets.
It's like NCIS, where an Italian woman was playing an Israeli.
That's just CBS going, man, close enough.
They're brown.
They don't care. CBS is like, look, we just got to make it to next week's How I Met Your Mother, and we'll be able to pay the bills. It's okay.
That's such a fucking terrible show, too. God. But yes.
Gal Gadot cast as Wonder Woman, and a lot of people have evidently lost their shit. A few people was because of her Israeli heritage. Most of the people I saw bitching about it were complaining because she was not an established actress with a wide and varied acting career, which is the stupidest fucking complaint I've ever heard.
Going off of that, I can't name a fucking thing that the last Superman was in, besides Superman.
Yeah. A bunch of, like, BBC period dramas and Immortals. My thing was the same people who were bitching about Gal Gadot being cast in the movie are the same people who were praising Adrian Palicki being cast as Wonder Woman for the TV show, and it's like... If Gal Gadot had just been in the G.I. Joe sequel, it would have been okay. Fucking pick a side. She'll be fine. And I went on another rant this morning about it.
Oh, I didn't
this
see
is
that
the
one.
This is the big problem I'm starting to see. They're clearly trying to throw together a Justice League movie.
Yeah, it's like...
Very quickly and very quietly, and it's not working because they're stupid. And Amazing Spider-Man 2 is trying to put every villain of a 60-year franchise in one movie, evidently.
Well, no, I can see how people were... Okay, let's go back to Gal Gadot. Let's not get off on the Spider-Man rant just yet.
Yes.
The things that I saw that bothered me were not that she didn't have a varied acting career or any of that. It's that her tits were too small and that she was too thin as a person, not to play Wonder Woman. She's just too thin in general and gross looking.
She could never put on muscles.
And it's shit like that drove me insane.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care if you don't think she can pull it off as an actress. I don't care if you don't think she has the look for the role, because I don't think she has the look for Wonder Woman. But at the same time, she got the role, and okay, let's see what she does with it, instead of saying her tits are too small and she's gross and thin and I don't like her and she needs to die. Like, that has nothing to do with her ability to play Wonder Woman, and that makes you an awful person for saying that shit. So, yeah, that's kind of what drove me up the wall about it.
This is the thing I'm saying. This is where they're going to screw up with this Justice League movie. Avengers worked because they had so many movies to try to build it around. So they've already established this character.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to just throw together a Justice League movie, which is a step in the right direction. The problem is, they don't have a single person in this cast that can hold down a franchise. They have Ben Affleck as Batman. Do you really think Ben Affleck's going to come back for a third Justice League movie? I was like, they're having a problem getting Robert Downey Jr. back for a fifth movie now, and this is a franchise that salvaged his career. Ben Affleck just won a fucking Oscar for directing. You think he's going to come back and do two or three more outs in the Batsuit? He's getting his one shot at Batman that he's said he wanted since, like, 1997. I remember him saying in 1997 he wanted to play Batman, but only if Gwyneth Paltrow could play Catwoman, because they were fucking at the
time. Yeah, they were dating.
And that's just how Ben Affleck works.
Maybe he's going to get his Jennifer dollars. Garner as Catwoman now.
That wouldn't be the worst Catwoman casting. Anyways, I'm going to say it would be the best, but it wouldn't be the worst.
I know I'm going to say something now that pissed me off about everyone when they were saying it about Ben Affleck, but we saw her do Elektra.
Yeah.
I don't think we need her as Catwoman.
Ben Affleck's going to do his one, maybe two movies as Batman. He's going to get his jollies. He might get to direct something with a superhero in it. He's going to get his redemption for Daredevil. Then he's going to go get another Oscar directing something, smoke a lot of pot with Kevin Smith, and never look back at a Justice League franchise. At which point, you're hanging your tent pole on Henry Cavill, who will eventually leave the role, because there is that kind of historical curse on Superman actors, and he's going to try to get out while he still has a career to salvage. Case in point, what was the last movie you saw Brandon Routh do? And Brandon Routh was a pretty... Yeah, I didn't hate him. I thought he would have been fine with a better script and a director who wasn't trying to masturbate Superman 2 the entire time.
Isn't that kind of what they did in this last Superman movie?
Yes. And I think Henry Cavill, again, was fine for the role. He was just in a really terrible script. Gal Gadot, the internet's already turned their fucking back on her. I don't think she can hold down the franchise. We'll see, but if this is... She's got a steep hill to climb. They don't have anyone else cast. Were they going to go with Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern? I don't think they'll acknowledge that movie.
No, that one bombed so bad.
That one, which wasn't a terrible movie, it just wasn't necessarily a good movie.
No, it was a pretty bad movie.
If you've got a bag of popcorn and 2 hours to kill, I recommend Green Lantern. It's fun, but it's not good.
I don't, but anyway.
Anyways, so they're trying to build this, like, massive Justice League franchise. They're just going to have to recast the entire movie in two years.
Yeah, by the time they actually get to it not being, like, Superman and the Justice League, and it's actually just the Justice League movie, they're going to have recast every single person in it.
There's also the fact that they haven't established any of these characters. Batman, you can get away with not establishing. Everybody knows who Batman is. Superman's been established. He's had a movie. Every other character, you're going to have to establish. They're not going to do it smart. They're not going to adapt something like the pilot for the Justice League cartoon would be a great pilot to adapt. That's a good route to go. That was a good pilot. You know just enough to get going, and then you can kind of touch on everything and the rest of it goes. They're going to do something stupid like adapt the first arc from the Justice League New 52 reboot, which was really just 8 issues of everybody shows up and punches everybody else. That's not a good movie. That's a bad movie.
God, it was, too.
I don't have a lot of faith in this project because they're trying to build the roof of the house before they even start on the basement. And one last thing, if you're bitching about Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, and I know you saw this in my rant last night, you should not be concerned about the fact that Gal Gadot is playing Wonder Woman. You should be concerned about the fact that the writer of Man of Steel is writing Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you had a rant on Amazing Spider-Man 2, which I think is going to be a fantastic video game, but I'm told it's a good game.
See, the thing is that I saw the trailer that after I saw the shitstorm of everyone going, God, throw every fucking villain in there, why don't you? But they don't really put all the villains in there, but they do hint at all of them.
Yeah, they've already said they want Spider-Man 3 to be a Sinister Six movie. And if you introduce three of them now and then throw the next three in and then bring... I think you could maybe pull it off. You could probably cheat and make the Lizard one of those six, and then you've only got to establish two villains in the next movie.
Right.
I think they could pull it off. I didn't hate Amazing Spider-Man. It had a lot of problems, but ultimately I think it was a pretty solid
Amazing
movie.
Spider-Man is better than all three of the Raimi films.
It's a more true Spider-Man movie than all three of the Raimi films. I will
even just as a movie. I don't care about how true it was to the source. It's just a
I forget that you hate all the like first wave comic book superhero movies that came out.
No, I don't hate all of them.
Blade?
Blade I liked. Blade 2 I did not like.
I don't think anybody liked Blade 2 or Trinity.
I enjoyed Trinity for what it was.
For what it was. But you can't enjoy
it. It's one of the better superhero movies, but I did enjoy it.
But you won't eat popcorn and watch Green Lantern?
My problem with Green Lantern and why it's not just a good popcorn flick is because they are trying to make you digest so much shit.
Yeah. There's a really good movie somewhere in Green Lantern. Unfortunately, they buried, again, 60 years of comic continuity on top of it.
Yeah. So it's like...
They didn't eat... Yeah.
You can't just sit and enjoy the explosion fest in Green Lantern like you can with, like we were saying, a Fast and the Furious or something like that, because it's like they are just burying you in so much. Who's this character? What's he doing? What's over there? Yeah. Now he's in space. Now he's on Earth. That guy's bad. Now he's good, but now he's bad again. It's too confusing, especially for a two-hour film.
And that may be where I run into the issue. Where I enjoy a lot of these movies that a lot of people don't, and that I already know the 60 years of continuity, so I already have a leg up on a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to remember that sometimes.
It's like, you can see a reference in it and remember a character's backstory. I have not read a Green Lantern comic in ever, so to see, like, some weird fish guy in a Green Lantern suit and be told that he's this, I don't know how to contextualize that.
And I just went, oh my god, it's Tomar Ray. He had this one really good story. That's might be why people don't go to movies with me. Well, I take it back, my ex went and saw Green Lantern with me, but she was just excited for Ryan Reynolds in a skin-tight costume.
Unfortunately, like, I know enough about comics that when I go to movies with people who haven't read any comics, when anyone shows up, it's like, who's that? What's that guy? It's like, this is the introduction movie. Watch it.
Shut up and pay attention.
Please. That's Thor. Who's Thor? The main character. Watch the movie.
Going back to Amazing Spider-Man, though, because I think we kind of got ourselves sidetracked there, I do feel the only problem with that movie, the only like major glaring flaw with that movie that I'm hoping they have fixed in the sequel, boy, Peter Parker was a douchebag.
It seemed like they're trying to make it more of an Ultimate Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate Spider-Man was a little more douchey than Peter Parker.
He was a little more douchey, but oh my god, that movie, he was a dick.
But would you rather have, like, dickhead Peter Parker that's kind of snarky and maybe a little too big for his britches? Or would you rather have whiny fucking bitch cry all the time, Tobey Maguire?
I brought the egg. I do feel like Amazing Spider-Man 2 is going in the right direction. I am glad they fixed that fucking costume. I am all for changing the costume if it makes sense, but the weird MMA greasy red streak costume they had in that movie did not work.
Yeah,
for me.
I didn't like that costume.
With the fucking nonsensical leg stripes. It was like he started making the costume and then remembered he had to go to school and he just worried about it later.
As long as it covers my face, that's all I really need.
Nobody can see my face, I'm good. I just gotta make some stupid jokes and it's all okay. But I do feel like they've got probably the most comics accurate on screen depiction of Spider-Man's costume we've seen yet. Good job, Mark Webb. You are living up to your name.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that the director of this franchise was Mark Webb, and that's very fitting. But yeah, people were complaining. It's like, okay, I watched this trailer, and I saw Electro, Green Lantern, and Rhino. Also saw Doc Ock and the Vulture.
Green Lantern?
Did I say Green Lantern? Green Goblin.
You said Green Lantern. Green Goblin. Good job.
But they were saying, I also saw Doc Ock and the Vulture. Just throw everyone in there, why don't you? And I went back and watched the trailer. You see Doc Ock's arms. You see Vulture's wings. You don't see them. They're hinting at the characters, not necessarily throwing them right into the movie, so chill the fuck out, nerds.
Yeah. I think it'll be alright. I'll be there. I'll watch it. May not be opening day, but I'll definitely watch it. Yeah, my big complaint was just, especially the sequences where he fought Electro, it just looked like such a fucking video game. And I hear people make that complaint about movies and movie trailers all the time, and I always go, man, it's fine, it's CG, it's gonna look like that. It looked like they just played a video game and recorded it. Amazing Spider-Man, the Let's Play movie. That might actually be I'm gonna chalk that down, that might be a good idea.
So what are your thoughts on the Electro and Rhino kind of costumes?
I'm okay with them. I think it's a really interesting take on Rhino, and, I mean, they're basically doing Ultimate Electro, so it's not that weird. I think it's a neat concept for Rhino. It certainly makes a lot more sense in that universe than Russian guy who gets stuck in a Rhino costume. Which was always, like, one of the weirdest... Who's that? It's the Rhino. What's his superpower? He can't take his clothes off. But they're really tough clothes. Okay, and he's Russian! They did kind of a new Rhino story a few years ago for Brand New Day, where the new Rhino had a costume similar to that. It was, like, all mechanical. And it was actually a really good story, because it was the original Rhino had retired, and he was living a life with his wife, and he was happy and content. The new Rhino came and wanted to kill him to make a name for himself, and he refused to fight him. And then a few issues later, the new Rhino finally killed his wife, and he put the costume back on, and they did this just really great fight that was, there was no, like, speech bubbles or anything like that. It's just a really solid, well-drawn fight that ended with the old Rhino killing the new one. I thought it was a really well-done story. A lot of people disagreed, but those people hated Brand New Day because they don't want to give new things a try.
I was saying that's kind of a shame that they killed old Rhino, or killed new Rhino.
They did, but it was a really good story for old Rhino, and he's not been seen since.
Yeah, well, there you go.
There you go. So I'm not... I think it's okay. I think Paul Giamatti is an interesting choice. I think they're... I don't think they're going to do anything in these movies that is even remotely like the comics. I think they're going to do their own thing, and I applaud them for that. I have always been the guy who kind of feels you have to change things to make any kind of written or illustrated thing work on a screen. Mm-hmm. You can't just adapt it. We've seen them try to do that before. It doesn't work.
Well, Sin City.
Sin City worked because it's so stylish and it was just a series of short stories. It's a series of short stories from like 10 years ago. You can't take a 60-year-old franchise and adapt it flawlessly and make everybody happy. They can't take 1960 Amazing Fantasy number 15 and adapt it panel for panel and go, oh yeah, look how well that works. The kids will be like, why does Peter keep wanting wheat cakes? What the fuck are those?
And what's a newspaper?
Nasty. Newspapers? Or that was the big change for Ultimate Spider-Man. Is Peter Parker a photographer? No, he's a webmaster.
Yeah.
Oh, God, fuck off. So, that's a franchise. I enjoyed the first one enough to say that I'm eager to see what they do with that franchise.
Yeah.
Not my favorite, but I enjoyed it. No. Hey, Mike. Bryan Singer announced the 2016 sequel to X-Men Days of Future Past. Hey, Mike, what do you think about Days of Future Past?
I think that they are making a huge mistake by taking First Class, which was the best X-Men movie they have made so far, and trying to merge it with that shit fest of a trilogy.
I don't think the trilogy was a shit fest, but I do agree. I am utterly disappointed that they are just trying to ram First Class into it.
Okay, I won't say that the original trilogy was a shit fest, but there was a lot wrong with those movies.
There was a lot. Oh, I still enjoyed those movies. We've had this debate numerous times. I thought X-Men 1 and 2 were great. You hated them. I think you and I agree on The Last Stand. It gets a bad rap. It's not a bad movie. It's not a great movie. It's not a bad movie.
And no, my problem with 2 is that people tout it as the best when it is not the best.
I think it's the best when you kind of combine it with the first X-Men.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at X-Men as, like, the prequel trailer to X2, it has a lot more weight to it.
Yeah. It's all.
And those are movies. And those are movies that are quickly not aging well as we get away from the late 90s Matrix black leather fetish.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very much looking like a bondage film now.
Which makes it really awkward when you see Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen wearing black leather armor. but Iceman grew a beard. They're so edgy now. God damn.
Like he's growing up. No.
Iceman grew a beard. He still hasn't sealed the deal with Juno, but he grew a beard.
Well, he's still conflicted of whether or not he's going to fuck Juno or Anna Paquin.
I swear to God, if that's a story arc, they're going to hear me in the theater yelling, "It has been 50 fucking years! Fuck one of them! I don't even care anymore. I don't care. Just fuck somebody. Okay? Make your dick ice and fuck Rogue."
Make your dick ice.
I feel like the problem we're going to run into with Days of Future Past is the segments with the first class cast are, wow, that's a tongue twister, are going to be really good, even the ones with Wolverine in them, because Hugh Jackman is a good Wolverine. I feel like I shouldn't put that much enthusiasm into that statement. But he genuinely cares about the role, and I appreciate that.
That's the problem with him, though, is that he really likes the role, and they have done nothing but put him in shitty fucking movies.
I haven't watched The Wolverine yet. Supposedly it's not terrible. Mike, did you see The Wolverine?
I did not see The Wolverine, so I guess I can't comment on that one.
Okay, we'll have to watch it soon. Not together. I'm not going to, like, sit with you and hold your hand and eat popcorn or anything, but we'll watch it soon.
Well, it's coming out on DVD, like, this week?
Like, last week. It's already out.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Good job. Keep up, Mike.
I'll go fire up my purchasing device and
let's see, how do you spell purchase again? T-H-E-P-I-R. No, that's not right. I feel like the sequences with the crew from First Class is going to be really good and really great stuff. They're already making a big deal out of that with the Sentinel, I reckon. There's a whole viral website that is supposedly conspiracy theory information about Magneto bending the bullet that killed JFK. Which is the kind of ridiculous nonsense I've come to expect from an X-Men franchise,
yeah.
And I'm okay with it. It's kind of like, oh god, that's that's par for course with X-Men. But I feel like, aside from Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, when they go back to the original cast and start fucking Halle Berry and whoever else they brought back, Anna Paquin and Sean Ashmore and Juno, she's always going to be Juno, in my eyes. I feel like those sequences are going to suck.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be 15 years older. And just look beat to fucking hell. And it's just going to be like, we're still doing this. Like we did the last movie, and since then they have rebooted every comic book franchise you could think of. And we're still doing this. And Bryan Singer will just be going, yay!
I love X-Men, yay, yay. God, fucking.
But all Bryan Singer tweeted out earlier was X-Men, hashtag 2016, hashtag apocalypse.
He's going to do Age of Apocalypse. This is the fucking problem with doing these goddamn movies.
I have to ask, though, if the next movie they're doing is Age of Apocalypse, does that not already tell you how Days of Future Past is going to end?
Yeah.
I feel like it has to end with the timelines not fixing them. Nope, there we go. Internet died. Mike, you there? Hi.
Hi.
Uh-oh, did it lose? Hang on. Anyways, I believe you were emphatically pounding your desk and announcing the problem with doing these movies.
Okay. These movies, like basing it off of X-Men, as we've already gotten to way in depth, like, let's just stick with, like, one timeline. There are 5,000 fucking characters to touch on and so many storylines in just one timeline.
Right.
Now the movies are trying to get into the bullshit that the comics have been doing forever where they have 900 fucking timelines that have these 5,000 characters in it, and it's just going to make everything so much more confusing.
I feel like what has to happen is, Because the whole point of Days of Future Past is the future X-Men live in poo because of something that happened in the past, and they're going to send Wolverine's mind back to the past, and he's going to make everything not poo. So I feel like what has to happen is, at the end of the movie, when they make everything not poo, the X-Men in the poo timeline go, oh, right, this changes nothing for us. We still live in shit. And they have to come invade the timeline, so you get the old X-Men fighting the first-class X-Men. And that's going to suck.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want a sequel to First Class. Which I've told you how I wish they had done First Class as a trilogy.
They should have.
I feel like if they had known it was going to be this big a deal, First Class shouldn't have ended with Magneto turning evil. It should have ended with the hint that he's not a nice guy. Because we know that. And it should have ended with everybody else kind of starting to realize that.
Right.
The second movie should have ended with Magneto turning his back on the X-Men, kill a couple of them, paralyze Xavier. It should end on that Empire Strikes Back note. Xavier should be, like, paralyzed and depressed and staring out a window. Magneto should be forming the Brotherhood. It should be really fucking bleak. And then the third one should be Xavier putting together what we would know to be the current class of X-Men to stop Magneto. It should have been a trilogy. It would have been awesome and epic, and they should not have got Bryan Singer to direct any part of it.
No. Because he's a fan of the comics, so he wants to put those on screen, but it is so convoluted that you cannot do it well.
We've done at least two podcasts where I've tried to explain the X-Men to you.
Yeah.
By the way, they're presently going to resurrect Nightcrawler because Nightcrawler's in heaven and his father from hell has broken into heaven. By the way, his father is a demon dressed like a...
I knew that, yeah.
Dressed like a pirate. Riding a pirate ship into heaven from hell.
Marvel. This is a bad Marvel.
X-Men, save the day.
God. But I thought that they said in the... Well, I guess it doesn't fucking matter. But they said in the angle about Nightcrawler's dad being the devil is that demons and angels, as they were believed, were really ancient mutants, not technically actually angels and demons, but because, like, superstitious people couldn't explain it, that's how they wrote it in their Bible and literature and things.
They also said Jean Grey came back from the dead as an all-powerful being from outer space, but then revealed that she was in a cocoon at the bottom of the Hudson River. And then she came back to life and got possessed by an all-powerful being from outer space. I'm pretty sure she's not in a cocoon at this point, though.
Well,
she might be.
She's probably there.
If Cyclops one issue was just like, hey, did we check for a cocoon at the bottom of the ocean? X-Men, to the bottom of the ocean! Hold your breath really tight. The six-month Cyclops ocean excavation.
That's how they would do it to it. It'd be a fucking year-long story of Cyclops and his B-team of X-Men scrounging around the sea floor.
Cyclops, we found this old German warship. This holds such secrets, such knowledge. No, fuck it, we gotta find Jean! Jean is all that matters! Why? Brian Michael Bendis said so.
Well, they'd get into some dick-measuring contest with Namor. We think Jean might be down here! She's not down here, go away! You can't keep
I didn't know Namor was a stereotypical, like, pilgrim Indian. Jean not in Atlantis.
Jean not...
You go away now.
Jean now. One-eyed white man.
I was going to say, has there ever been a Namor story that wasn't basically Namor showing up and going, look at how big my dick is. just look at it. Just appreciate its size, its swell, just everything. Look at my dick. Look at it. Look at it, Reed. Yours is stretchy, but mine is always like this. Let me fuck your wife, please. Just this once, Reed. Namor lonely.
Namor on bottom of ocean. Not many women on bottom of ocean.
Women on bottom of ocean, all blue.
God. That's what they would do.
By the way, I've got to reread the issue to see what's going on, but in the last issue of Aquaman, I am almost positive there were a series of buildings exploding in Atlantis.
Why not?
I was like, just going through real quick, like, yeah, Aquaman's got a beard, he blah. Is that the explosion? I don't care. Yeah, yay, everybody. It's over. Everybody's happy. Aquaman's wife made him shave the beard.
I'm going to do some Atlantis 9/11 because it's edgy.
Edgy. Oh, my God. Is that a submarine?
Christ.
Comic books.
And still, people wonder why I have just completely given the fuck up on superhero comics.
I'm at the point where it's like I really should be writing about them for my website, because I do still love comic books, and I do still keep up with them, but it's like there's only so many times I can write the same fucking thing about the same fucking story. Hey, this reminds me of the story they did 5 years ago. Oh, wait. It is that story. Like when DC just did this thing where they were like, hey, look, villains are taking over every issue this month. I'm like, you guys literally did that 3 years ago. Like, literally 3 years ago, and it was infinitely better than this bullshit.
Well, now they have to reintroduce all the villains because the whole timeline changed.
That was my biggest problem with that, because when they did it 3-4 years ago for, let's see, this one was Forever Evil. What was it called? I can't remember what they called it last time.
Bullshit Fest. Bullshit Fest 2010.
They had all the villains established, and they were interesting, and you wanted to read about them. And now it's like, these are your first appearances of these villains, so why do I want to buy this book? I don't care. At all.
But you do.
But I don't. Genuinely just, that noise is Mike drawing.
No, it's not. It's me actually cleaning off my screen.
It's like going, oh god, there's a lot of jizz on this screen.
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
Just
I tend
enough.
To mop up. I tend to mop up afterwards. So to wrap up, going back to our original topic, this Saturday is Robo Night Before Christmas. Have you seen the gift sets? Did you see the gift set I reblogged?
Yes.
I'm the guardian of the world, but where in the world am I? And turns around to find a like poor African shanty. Like, oh, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
Can't wait for this dream.
Robo Knight brings Christmas to Africa.
Emma, what is Kwanzaa?
I'm still surprised that a show run by such a Jewish man is so pushing Christmas every year.
Well, you've got to remember, this is a Jewish man who has historically displayed a fiendish love of money.
Yeah.
Not even like the Jewish stereotypical, horribly, slightly racist love of money. Like an American capitalist Donald Trump level love of money. And he's not going to make that money by having Troy be like, let's discuss the 8 days, Rangers!
No, if he was the stereotypical, like, money-grubbing Jew, he would not have forked out, like, the $8 million or whatever it was to get Power Rangers back from Disney.
Jake, do you know the miracle of the oil from the stories of Hanukkah? Yeah, that's where Jesus got an oil change for real cheap, right, Troy? Damn it, Jake! With your aloof ways and your soccer ball kicking.
God. Yeah. I'm gonna skip it like I probably... Or, like, I have done every, like, Christmas special for Power Rangers.
I didn't watch the Samurai ones. I imagine I'll attempt to watch this one, because I want to see if we're right and they will end it with Robo Knight becoming human. But I don't know where this one falls in continuity, because it's, like, episode 22, but, I mean, the war's coming. Where's Robo Knight? He's in Africa giving presents to starving children.
Well, the Christmas episodes historically have not been canon.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows?
Not even the one where the Rangers spend an entire episode stuck in the Megazord so they can do a clip show?
I was talking more of the one where Kat and Tommy were married, and Tommy's telling his grandson about something that happened. And then his son comes up to pick up the kid, but his communicator goes off, and he has to go do something and ask, can you watch the kid? because Tommy and Cat's son is a Power Ranger.
And Tommy was like, more phenomenal. We're going to give him so much sugar before you get out of here.
Go ahead. Go fight a monster. We've got a whole cake to feed your child.
When you get back, you're going to look at your kid and be like, oh my God, is that a pudgy pig? That, even by my
standards,
that was
a long
bad.
Way to go.
That was a stretch. Oh, Power Rangers.
So yeah, I don't know that this one will necessarily be any more canon than any of the past ones, so who knows, whatever. I hope that you're wrong and that they don't turn him human.
Me too.
I mean,
because then we're gonna have to deal with like 5 episodes of Robo Knight as a human before somebody finally goes, hey, we've got this whole other morpher right here you could be using.
See, I do think that we're right in that he is going to turn human. I just don't want them to do it on a Christmas special.
I'm just curious how contrived the explanation is going to be. Robo Knight is human because of his love and his valor and his dedication to the earth and rainbows and sunshine and flowers and snowflakes and butterflies.
Yeah, but as far as Power Rangers goes, that's not
They
bad.
Should have the Rangers go on a quest for a sword. And the sword is guarded by Titanus. And then when they get the sword, Titanus is just like, well, shit, guess I'll help out now.
We'll have to find Guy's trident.
Yes.
And then when they give that to Robo Knight, like, that's... Okay, Robo Knight is, like, gonna die. And they need the trident of power to save him. And they go fight something, bring back the trident, give it to Robo Knight, and it turns him into a real boy.
I've got it. Robo Knight is gravely injured. Gosei says, there is an ancient wizard from a world far from here, a world which the Power Rangers once saved. And that ancient wizard knows the secret to turn Robo Knight into a human so we can save his life.
Fucking Larry,
and that wizard's name, and that wizard's name is Furbus. No, nothing. Just silence. Just that fucking furry duck wanders into the convention center. It goes, they get that same kid who played Masked Rider to escort him. He probably looks worse than Austin St. John does by now. Just fat and gray hair and just like, I was once a hero too. No, we don't need your help. We're good.
We're awesome. I was a Masked Rider.
Do you want my key? No. Just no.
I had a talking motorcycle that looked like an ant.
I got this really cool car out here. It looks kind of like a Beetle. Do you want... No? Nope. Where are you all going? Hello?
Bye,
y'all.
I
still got my fancy belt. It's got swords in it. I can pull swords out of my... I wish I was dead. And the real twist will come when they find out Furbus has been dead for 20 years because Dex got stranded in the desert one day and he really needed food.
He had to eat Furbus.
Mike, why don't they hire us to write Power Rangers?
Because you do that.
I do shit like that. Look, Haim, here's what I'm thinking. You ever ate duck before?
I hate to go with the stereotype, but he's Jewish. He's eaten duck. Oh, God. I don't even know if we should mention this on the podcast, but I'm going to. I went to the doctor the other day.
Oh, this bodes well.
And, I'm in the waiting room, and, his secretary, scheduler person is black. And,
Mike.
A nurse comes in, and she quickly runs. She was late getting back from lunch, and she quickly runs back behind the desk, and then the secretary's like, oh, did you get that soda that I asked for? And she's like, yeah, but they didn't have any orange, so I got you grape. And she's like, I love grape soda. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, I feel like that's as good a place as any to wrap it up. Any final thoughts, Mike?
I'm not racist. I swear.
If you're one of the people listening to this, if you listen to this podcast and you're one of the people we were talking about earlier who was talking shit about Gal Gadot's casting as Wonder Woman, I'd just like you to know you are the worst people on the internet and you don't have to listen to this podcast ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Please, go away. Oh, God, we forgot the most important thing, Mike.
What?
Hi, Tarv.
Hi, Tarv.
How you doing, Tarv? I still have not mailed Tarv his Nintendo 64 controller.
Wasn't that like 6 months ago?
Yeah, it feels like it. It's been a rough couple months. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.